Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football as we do every day here with Bob David Moore. Michael Bumpus in for Jim Moore this week on 710 ESPN Seattle. The professor, John Clayton, is here with us. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Hey, we were just talking about this new potential CBA and what it means. And do you have numbers as to financially what it would mean to a player with an extra game and the playoff structure being what it is?
Well, what they're doing, and of course more details are coming out by the minute, is that for the extra game, first off, if they do this, they're going to increase the minimum salaries by about 25%. So, like for example, if you're a rookie, your base salary would be $510,000, would go up to like $645,000, and then if you add the extra game, what they're talking about is a maximum you get about $250,000. Now, remember, there's a revenue split in this, is that you can go from 47% to 48.5% if you do this deal. And so there's good incentive on that part, but the problem is, the players don't like it, and the players may vote this down.
Is there something specific they don't like, or is it
17 games?
Just
they don't want to risk their body for 17 games.
So is there a dollar amount you think that changes their mind? Everybody's got
no.
A price, John.
I mean, well, again, it's like that's what the union is hoping, is that the union is hoping that they're going to accept this and try to do it, because remember, this is an agreement. I mean, it's a tentative agreement because it has to be on the player vote, and you have to have 2/3 of the executive committee of 11 and 2/3 of the 32 guys that are the player reps. They all have to support it and vote for it. But right now, you can see that there's some problems. And if there's going to be problems, they're not going to get it done.
It seems unwise to sign a 10-year deal, John. That seems long to me.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It seems like they should go. I mean, if this continues to go up the way it is, I feel like that's too long of a time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's all part of that's what was agreed upon. Mm. And now what's going to happen if they vote this down, which I think there's a good chance that they will, the players, there's going to be a big problem in trying to put anything back together, because the owners say, hey, we already got your deal. What do you want to do? Now, if the owners are smart about it, maybe at the last minute they tried to put together some kind of a 16-game plan and just kind of do that quickly. But at this stage, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Mm. Did you like the idea of an extra playoff team right away?
Did I like the idea of an extra playoff team? Yeah, I do. Yeah, because I think that it's good for the game.
Yeah. I guess for me, John, the reason why I'm asking, I didn't like it at first, because I just think, when you get close to having, 50% of the teams make the playoffs, it makes it not so special. But compared to the other sports, they're still, even if they add two, they'll still be way behind. It's still only 43% of the
league. Yeah, as opposed to 37.5.
Yeah, exactly. It would go up from 37.5. And, you look at like MLB, when they add their four games, that's going to be almost 50%, 50% in hockey, over 50% in NBA. So I guess at first, but also, John, they're talking about possibly doing, so if they do the 17-game schedule, they're going to put two bye weeks in there. Mm-hmm. That puts the Super Bowl out to like late February.
Late February, right.
Yeah, so, and they like to start after Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
So, that's going to be first part of September, September 7th coming up this year. Mm-hmm. But still, yeah, it just seems like more football. Everybody loves it, so I can understand why. The one thing I would say, though, they're talking about going to Brazil, Germany, places like that.
Right.
Is that going to be a big sticking point how big of a sticking point, I should say, will that be?
I don't think it's going to please the players, and that's why I think there's a decent chance that they're going to vote this down. And because, again, it's like they don't want to play the 17 games. They don't want to have that many international games. But that's what's on the table, and that's what's been accepted. And if they don't accept it, what you're looking at is that they're not going to be able to get the big TV money. That could be falling apart because the networks aren't going to invest if there's going to be labor uncertainty. So the players, that's why the Players Association agreed upon it, because they realize the good money's there. You're going to get about $1.8 billion in revenue if you do the 17 games. You're going to have less practice time. Your off seasons are going to be a little bit shorter or longer, in the sense that you don't have to do too much, less hitting in training camp. And, you got that. But again, the players' bodies right now are on their minds, and right now they don't want to change that.
Yeah, it's funny to me, because that was kind of the characterization of the last labor agreement is that they didn't get as much in as money as they should, and they got less practice. Mm-hmm. That's really all they got out of the deal. But yeah, I hope they don't go that route again.
I just hope they get a deal done. I need it for my database.
Oh, is that right? Else. For your convenience, John?
Absolutely, 100%.
Did you tell them that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
John, Everson Griffin was allowed to void his contract. One, do you think the Hawks should go after him, and what's his price tag going to be?
I think they should because, I mean, his price tag is going to be pretty reasonable and probably somewhere in the – because I can't imagine at his age he's going to be able to pull down more than 10 mil. I'd have to think he's going to be in that kind of close to Greg Olson type of deal money. And so if that's the case, I think it's a solid consideration.
Hey, John, back to this proposed CBA for a second. I didn't see anything about roster size. Were they going to expand the roster?
Well, what they're talking about is no expansion of the roster, although I think if at the last minute, if they wanted to put something up, they'd be able to get that in there. But what they're talking about is expanding the practice squad, which to me, it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, well, how does that – I don't really even understand how that helps.
I don't either. I'm kind of baffled at that one because to my way of thinking, that's not going to be good enough. But again, there's a lot of the things in there that, the little sprucing of things and all that, that the players do like, the Players Association likes. But again, where this goes tomorrow when they actually vote on it, it's going to be tough. I just hope that, I mean, again, I can understand 100%. If the players do not want to go ahead and do the type of deal that you can have on the with the 17 games, I perfectly understand that. But what I also look at is that you really do need to try to find a way to make this all work for everybody.
But the playoff portion of this whole thing, they don't need
the
players.
Separate. No, they can right? they can implement that.
So do we expect that will be happening?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're talking about roughly $400 to $500 million of additional revenue, which of course that's not bad, and you're adding two games, so that's not bad.
But then, so do the player, even though that's a separate thing, they don't need the players' approval.
No.
Do the players then reap some of the benefits of that, or is this all going into the owner's
pocket?
Well,
you get a playoff check if you're a player and make it, and it's going to add to the, if you're not taking this deal, the 47% that you're going to still get out of that. So you still get, some benefit, and you get a little bit more under the cap, and you get a playoff check. But other than that, there's not that much.
All right, John, what do you think? We just talked about this of Emmett Smith saying that Dak Prescott should take $7 million less and than 35 and help his teammates out.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sit with you?
Doesn't sit well with me. It's like I still go to when Baker Mayfield was criticizing Duke Johnson.
Right.
And it's like, hey, Emmett, you're out of football right now. It's like, stay out of everybody else's business.
Yep.
I mean, this is not your deal. I mean, you held out into the regular season to get your deal, and you got it, and they paid Ezekiel Elliott. Stay out of Dak Prescott's business.
Yeah, stay out of his pocket.
Yes.
Right. We used to call that, that guy has had the player lobotomy.
Mm-hmm.
It means he doesn't know how to think like a player anymore. And, I think, though, John, I mean, it's a good strategy if you're a guy who has made a lot of money. Brady is the example, right?
Right.
Say, all right, I'll take a little bit less if it'll help the team. But I just wonder if that might be sort of treacherous there territory as far as, like, if he takes $7 million less, or let's say down the road Dak Prescott decides to, he's going to probably be keeping an eye on where they spend that money, right?
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, now you turn the owner
into an issue right now with Tom Brady.
Right.
And again, the difference is Dak Prescott did not have Giselle as his wife, who was making more than Tom Brady did when he was at his peak.
Okay, well, so what you're saying is if Dak Prescott can marry a supermodel, that's all we need. Then he can take less money and they can start paying all the other players.
If you have that circumstance, I think you can agree to it.
Yeah, I was going to do that during my career, but I decided not to.
You really did?
Yeah,
I could see that.
He had his pick of the litter, John.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John says, I knew him when he was a player. That's false.
Yeah. John, Jason Witten wants to play another year, at least another year of football. Do you see him going back to the Cowboys or see him somewhere else?
I just see him someplace else because I just think that when you bring in a new coach and you want a new culture, and again, Jason Witten's going to be good for the culture there because he's such a good player, but I think Mike McCarthy probably wants to go a different direction, get a little bit younger at the tight end position. And so even though, again, it's not his total choice, I still think that's the way they probably go. And so I think that he's going to have to go someplace else to be able to do it. And again, it's funny because, What name do you bring up when you start talking about a cowboy, a prominent cowboy that had to go a different direction? And it was Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith had to go to Arizona to continue his career because he wanted to continue it, but the Cowboys wanted to move on. And so I think that Jason's going to be someplace else.
I think it's so interesting hearing Emmitt talk this way, and I get it. He was asked a question, so there's context to it. He was just answering, but he's a guy who held out. They were still America's team at the time he was playing for him, so you could argue that he had more endorsement opportunity than anybody, yet he held out for more money. Appears his mind has changed when it comes to Dak.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know, great to make your comment, Emmitt, but stay out of other people's business. You know, it's like if you put yourself in a position to earn maximum dollars, you should have the ability to collect maximum dollars. I mean, hometown discounts, you know, why would you do that? I mean, you know, Russell Wilson didn't do it, and this team came out of it okay. I mean, what, they won 11 games, won a playoff game, and have $60 million of cap room. So, you know, it's like get the best deal that you can, because what happens in this game, within a couple years, all those deals become outdated.
By the way, if you guys have questions for the professor, you can text them in 710-710 to our text line. If we have time in the segment, we'll fire off some of your questions to him.
John, think Eric Bieniemy is going to go to Colorado ultimately?
Nope. Yeah. He turned him down.
Okay, well, it says he's still a strong candidate. Maybe this is an old story, but he's done, huh?
Yeah, he told him no.
Okay. Tom Brady, any update there with Tom Brady?
No, the only thing was is that more strange stuff coming out in that regard, in the sense that, you know, it looks like he's going to, you know, do the tarmac bit and try to go ahead and see if when he gets to the 16th of March that he's going to listen to offers. And so that's not good because, again, and it seems like that's endorsed right now by Robert Kraft. So they're kind of moving aside. And, you know, I guess a lot of this has to go with the CBA talks, too. And it's wise. I mean, no, you wait to see where it goes with the CBA because you got to see what the team can do and what they can't do financially. So that stays into it. So we'll start getting a better read on that, I think, next week.
What's the tarmac bit?
Well, the tarmac bit is kind of like Peyton Manning when he said, hey, yeah, you come see me and we'll talk. And everybody now can try to go see him and they can go talk.
John, Greg Robinson got arrested for having 157 pounds of marijuana on him. Have you ever heard of anything like this from an NFL player?
Well, was it Nate Newton? Nate had 190, didn't he?
I think Nate Newton had less, I thought, didn't he? I could be wrong. Yeah. But, yeah, he got
popped. He had a pretty substantial number, I know that.
Yeah, and he went to prison for a bit.
Agreed, and very well, you can see you know, Quan Bray, who was with him, a former wide receiver, and Greg, they're in big trouble right now.
Wasn't there there was a member of the Chicago Bears years ago that was dealing, that got caught in a sting situation, too? I can't remember who that was. But it's amazing guys who are making these salaries at the NFL level, and granted they're not $35 million a year, but it's still more than 98% of the population find the need to risk everything with something like this. I mean, I don't get it.
Why would you go across the border knowing there's dogs that sniff these things out, and you got 157 pounds? Do you think there's a chance that they might sniff this out?
Appears they didn't consider that, John.
Apparently not. I don't know what advice they were getting, but they got bad advice.
They weren't pros, clearly. I don't know. No. But just the idea that you're risking an NFL career where you're making, even as you said, John, a minimum salary of over $500,000. You're making over $500,000 a year, and you're not working, you know, January to December. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The idea that, hey, you know what? On the side, I'm going to deal drugs.
Oh, yeah, because again, and you would have to think, I mean, if you got 175, that's not, you know, that's 157 pounds. I mean, this isn't just for your own use. You're doing it, and they've arrested him for trying to distribute. Now, again, they didn't know how he's going to try to distribute, but they're trying to say that he's going to be a retail salesman with that amount.
Yeah, he could probably try to convince him that it was just a year's worth supply for him. But
weighs the same, Dave.
Isn't he? Isn't he in like prime earning years in his NFL career?
And he's a left tackle, right? Which is a premier position in this league. Even if you're mediocre, I don't even know how is he viewed in terms of his.
He stinks.
All right. Maybe he saw the end of his career coming then and thought he needed
Plan B. Well, let's put it this way. Right now, his career is up in smoke. You can say that.
Oh, there we go.
Here we go. Let's get Danny O'Neill in on this.
Yeah, he'd be proud of that one.
You're doing just fine, John. What else you got? No Jordan Reed, tight end with the Redskins. They parted ways. Is that Is that franchise going to get better with Ron Rivera there, you think?
Yeah, ultimately it will, but he's got to, you know, get the culture better, and he has to make some bold decisions on where he wants to go with some of the players. But no, I think it's going to get better. I mean, it does look like they've now started to break through with Trent Williams, and he may show up, and I don't know if it's showing up to be traded or showing up to go, but I think that you can see that Ron gets along well with the players, and that's a good thing.
Joe Burrow says he has leverage in his number one pick situation. Are we going to see another Eli Manning situation, or do you think he's going to play in Cincinnati next year?
I think he has no choice. I mean, because, you know, all his leverage is to just withhold his services. And if he withholds his services and then try to go into the next year's draft, I mean, he's going to lose about $8 million a year. He's going to lose a $25 to $26 million signing bonus. And he's not going to be the first pick in the draft because, you know, there's a Clemson quarterback that's going to go ahead of him if he waits a year. So I think his leverage is not too much. He's got to be a Bengal.
Hey, John, I've read like four different stories making reference to the Seattle Seahawks cap room, and I don't know how long it's been, a number of months now, we've been talking almost $60 million, 59.7, yeah, right in that neighborhood. And now the latest numbers I've seen, and this is before Greg Olson, $50 million, $44 million. What am I missing? Did they spend money somewhere?
What you're missing is that some of the revised numbers that go, and this is where it goes with Seattle, some of the revised numbers haven't been posted on some of the sites. Like, for example, Over the Cap hasn't done the readjustments, because what happens, you have a carryover number, and that was, you know, like about, I don't know, like a couple hundred thousand dollars for the season, but Seattle's supposed to get about $10 million in the carryovers. So if you go to SportTrack, I mean, then you'll see their carryover numbers are going to be bigger than what you can see for Over the Cap, because Over the Cap didn't do that posting yet. And part of it is because, you know, a lot of it is still kind of tied up because, you know, a lot of the numbers haven't been distributed because you've got the Players Association and the owners all negotiating. And so the Management Council has been a little too busy to post all the actual numbers. But remember, there's other things that have to go into this, too, that's going to shrink some of the dollars, because what you're also looking at is that, you know, Seattle has 49 players signed. We haven't got the Olson deal yet. But what you also haven't had is the escalators, because, you know, some sites have the escalators, because like three Seahawks, their base salaries go from like $735 to $2.14 million, because you get the escalator, Shaq Griffin being one of those, and also you have your restricted free agents that you have to have, and Seattle has about six of those. But safe to say that even when you start to put the exclusive rights free agents, when you start to put the restricted free agents, they have over $50 million of cap room.
So currently, before the Olson deal becomes legit and signed, sealed, and delivered,
59 to 60.
They still have 59 to 60 right now.
Yes.
And then once that deal happens, they've got what?
51, somewhere like that.
Well, it's 5.5 guaranteed, right? So it's, yeah, seven with incentives.
Well, remember, I mean, I'm sure what it is that that $1.5 million is probably tied up into play time. Which is, in other words, if he, you know, it'll be a little less than seven because he, you know, he missed two games with a concussion. So if it's going to be 1.5, he's probably going to be like 6.75 or something like that under the cap.
All right, so roughly 53. Then they've got 53 to work with after that deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is not bad.
Yeah, I saw one that had him at 44, and I'm like, where did they spend money that I didn't hear about?
They didn't. I mean, again, what's not counted in some sites is the escalators.
Okay.
And again, you know, now you're talking, 4.2 million, because it goes from, you know, 735 up to 2144. So, or actually it could be 2417. So that's where you're seeing some discrepancies. And of course they've got 48 and you count the top 51. So really, you've got $1.5 million less on that, but still, and we haven't got the Olson deal yet, but they're in good shape cap wise.
All right, John, is it seven picks this year in the draft?
Aren't they
still working it out because of the compensatories?
Yeah, because, I mean, a couple of things have kind of switched into compensatories. Like, for example, now all of a sudden, you know, Brett Hundley isn't counting for whatever crazy reason, and that was going to be the seventh-round pick. But, you know, depending on where things go as far as, you know, Mike Davis and all that stuff, in the end, I think it's going to be a 3, a 4, a 6, and a 7, and they've got 8 other picks.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, we're
talking, 7 other picks, yeah.
Right. We were talking about all the money that they have in the cap room and free agency, but, you know, how you build, and we're going to talk about this later, how you build your team is through the draft. And
right.
Especially over the last couple of years, they've done a really good job. And some of these compensatory picks have turned out to be good players.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, and that's where you, and, you know, I know they take the criticism John does, which is unfair, saying, okay, yeah, but boy, wouldn't it be nice to have Frank Clark? Well, wasn't it nice to have seven additional draft choices going from 4 to 7 with his ability to trade and make the moves?
Yeah, and eventually it gets to 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
11.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some of these names as far as Malcolm Smith was a compensatory pick. Blake Martinez was a compensatory pick, round 4. Everybody, Aaron Jones, Kyle Juszczyk, Dak Prescott, actually, mm-hmm. too. So anyway, off of a list of compensatory picks. I know a lot
but
of
But also
people,
remember, you can trade these picks, too, for value.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's something that I think is sometimes kind of scoffed at, but, you know. Look, for John Schneider, I mean, it's just a golden opportunity. And, you know, who cares if it's 5th, 6th, 7th? He does some good work then.
No, agreed. And I think that they'll come out of this very well. Again, but the key, I still think, is you've got to get something done with Clowney.
Yeah.
Because, now you can see, because when I was looking at the draft, and, boy, I can't find an edge pass rusher going before the 12th pick.
John, I just saw
Other than the young guy, the kid from Ohio State.
Yeah, obviously. he's Nick Bosa, if not better. Right. So I'm not even counting him.
Gotcha.
John, I just saw Jarvis Landry had hip surgery. How serious is that? Was that bothering him during the season? Do you know?
Yeah, it was. I mean, and so kind of crazy is that you got Jarvis Landry who rants and raves on the sidelines and gets mad at officials and stuff like that. He played with a hip injury. Now he's got hip surgery. And Odell Beckham Jr. played a good portion of the season with a core injury, and he had surgery. So I don't think things are going too well for the Browns right now.
Michael, when you were playing, was there all this hip surgery and core surgery? Did that just start? Because I know it's from a long time ago. I'm from the olden days, but we didn't.
Yeah, but
have
you remember? I mean, you were part of that because it was Chris Warren had one of the first sports hernia surgeries and core surgeries or sports hernia surgeries.
I was gone by then.
Oh, you were gone by then?
Yeah, but I just don't remember that injury running rampant through the NFL. Everybody's got a damn core injury, or you know,
you guys just played through it. You rubbed dirt on it, called it a day.
The mistake, I guess, is going to the doctor in Philadelphia, because if you go to the doctor in Philadelphia, you're getting the surgery.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Well, I think, you know, maybe we weren't as muscular and as toned and in shape. That's what the problem is now. These guys are in too good a shape.
Too good a shape.
Yeah. You see one of those guys that
they're lacking
like
body fat.
Yeah, exactly.
John, who should I put my money on, Wilder or Fury this weekend?
Fury? Would there that be a good choice?
Is Fury like 6'7"?
6'9".
6'9"?
Mm-hmm.
The other dude's like, you know,
6'7".
Like, well, he's the other.
Deontay Wilder, 6'7".
Wilder. Yeah, I'm looking at that guy. That dude looks like a defensive end.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that body you're talking about. He could suffer a core injury.
Yeah, he might get one. He better be careful.
How good is this fight, by the way?
It's good for where the heavyweight division is these days. I wouldn't put it up against any classics in terms of overall skill, but it's the best you're going to get these days. So, yeah, it's compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes watching big dudes knock the crap out of each other, right?
Yeah, and Fury's got maybe the single hardest punch in the history of the sport.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, so You've got that to deal with. John, good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. There's the professor, John Clayton, with us every day talking football here. Coming up, there's a new name in the available pass rusher discussion that we'll talk about coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael Bumpus in for Jim today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll talk with Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times, get his take on this whole proposed expanded playoff situation and everything else going on with the Seahawks. Meanwhile, we talked about, another player that the Seahawks could take a look at. I feel like they look at anybody, right? Whether they feel like they've got a legit shot or anything, I feel like John Schneider's the type of guy who's going to make that call on anybody that could help on the off chance that, hey, maybe this guy's got a deal in mind that would be very palatable to us.
Yeah.
You know, so the name I'm talking about is Everson Griffin, though. He voided his contract. He had 3 years left on his deal with Minnesota, and he voided that, so he's a free agent. He could still sign with them. I think they've got some cap issues, so maybe they re-sign him to a much more favorable deal in terms of the salary cap, or maybe he comes out and says, all right, I want to play for a team that I think is on the doorstep, a team that's going to give me a great chance to win. Is he a guy you look at? He's an older player. He's not a long-term solution, but he could be an immediate solution. He had, what, I think he had 8 sacks last year, which is twice as many as the leader on this team. And he played more snaps than anybody by a long shot on this team. Is he a guy you'd be interested in?
Yeah, I for the right price, as we always say. I mean, it's kind of interesting that he did that. I don't know what was going on there. He's a USC guy, by the way, and I'd forgotten about that, but he's 32 years old. Kind of looking at him a few weeks ago because, and you know what I'd forgotten about? Remember he took a leave of absence, and it was something about his mental health, and, you know, which should be taken seriously, certainly, but, you know, that's also something that you want to factor in is, you know, is he back and ready to go? So, but yeah, he's a fearsome player. I mean, he started his career in 2010, and, you know, you look over the last few years, 18, his sack total's down a little bit, 5.5, but 8 last year, as you mentioned, Bob, 3 years ago, 13, 8, 10.5, 12 going back. I mean, and this guy's a tough guy. We saw him here at CenturyLink this year, and, you know, it was amazing the Seahawks were able to run on them because they had a tough run defense, and he's one of the reasons. They got Danielle Hunter on the other side. So this could be a guy that you put on the other side of Clowney because, you know, the only thing I'd say about that is that, you know, I think that they have high hopes for Rasheem Green. And then they have Q, Quentin Jefferson. They've got Brandon Jackson. You know, the guys that can play, LJ Collier I talked about yesterday. I mean, those are guys that can play that defensive end spot, and I think that's where I see Griffith and being on the opposite side of the Leo, the pass rusher, on the other side. But, you know, this guy's been able to get it done. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, I like him. You know, I watched his film, broke him down a little bit. Super explosive. Remember yesterday we talked about the Seahawks not having enough dogs out there. Then we pointed out a few dogs, but the way this guy plays kind of brings that dog mentality. And he's older, so he's not going to ask for too much money. I think John said he won around about $8 to $10 million. If you can get him at that price, I say you shoot your shot with this guy, man. Clowney needs help on that other side. Rasheem Green might be the guy. Q might be the guy. We'll see. But at this point of Russell Wilson's career, Pete Carroll's career, you got to go after guys like this. So if you have a chance, man, I say sign the kid up and see what he can do.
Yeah, 11th year guy, you want to be careful how much you spend there. But actually, Willie McGinnis wrote an article and Mora, you know, printed it out, and we were all kind of discussing it before. But, you know, a number here that I think are good ones, and Willie McGinnis thought they were good free agents worth pursuing. Eric Armstead, he's going to end up, I think he's a defensive end, first of all, not necessarily the quick twitch guy off the edge. I don't know that they necessarily need that guy. Again, Green, Brandon Jackson, I know people are going to think I'm crazy, but LJ Collier. And then, and I think Armstead's kind of that kind of guy. They need a guy like Shaquille Barrett, who's not going anywhere. I'm sure Tampa's going to hold on to him after a 19.5 sack season.
Yeah.
You know, he has Clowney on the list. The guy I really like, Dante Fowler. You want to talk about a dog there. I love watching that guy play. He is a tough guy. He's explosive. And then the other guy is Yannick Ngakoue, that's an edge rusher. But I don't think that they're going to.
I thought it was Yannick.
It is not Yannick, okay? It is Yannick. And I don't know that they're ever going to let him out of there, out of Jacksonville. So, you know, I don't know what they're doing in Jacksonville, but yeah.
They're playing in London. They're going to be the world's team. Right. Not very good.
He may want to get out of there, you know, and maybe, but, you know, they might also slap the franchise tag on him there. But, yeah, he had 15 quarterback hits last year, and he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, if you can get one of those young, quick twitch guys to go put in a speed package, you get Clowney on one side, him on the other. Oof. I mean, and I'm sort of basing all this without Jaren Reed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Where are you on Jaren? We did our list. We went top 10 free agents and just worked our way up and said they're staying, they're going. We had Reed as going because he was a guy. We were just talking about somebody on Twitter who looked at it. Somebody, a fan, said, hey, you should get this amount of money. And they were like, who was that? Who did we just talk about the other day?
That scoffed, being disrespected?
Yeah, scoffed at a number.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Somebody will text
it. Well, I know Jaren did.
But that's what I was just going to say, is the same thing happened with Jaren Reed. Somebody, a fan on his Twitter, proposed a number. I can't remember the number. But, yeah, 9 to 11 or 8 to 10 million. Yeah. And he was just like, crazy.
If he wants more than that, I don't think he's worth more than that. You know,
I agree with you.
It's kind of tough to judge a season, too. He was off, what, six games?
Suspended. He's played four seasons. He's had one breakout season, 10 and a half sacks.
Which was last year.
The year before last.
Yeah, the year before last.
But the other three are all the same. Now, the difference being last year he missed six games because of suspension, but he hasn't had a big year in any of those years. He's had one breakout year. So which is more true, the 3 years or the one?
Ah, man.
If you're the Seahawks, you're paying him on the three, aren't you? You're going, well, yeah, you were this guy for 3 years. You were this guy for one.
Yeah, he's going to want the one-year type money.
Certainly.
Which I don't think he's worth that much. And then, Dave, you mentioned all these guys that
Darius Slay, he was the one.
McGinnis said that they should take a look at. Only problem with these guys is that they're going to be super expensive, man. And you already know Clowney's going to want his money. So it's, are you willing to invest that much on the defensive line? Which they should invest in the defensive line, but are you willing to put almost half of your money that you got available on the D-line? I just don't know if they should go that way. I think you take a look at Griffin. He's a little cheaper. You pay Clowney, then you go somewhere else and try to get some playmakers.
Well, I think Dante Fowler, at least the way he's been portrayed, is $8 to $10 million guy. So, I mean, maybe that's too much to spend on D-line, but
boy, I don't know that it is. Nice. Doesn't it have the trickle-down effect? We talk about the secondary and the concerns with the secondary, and you brought this up, Bump, as much as anybody has, that, yeah, you can have the best second, whether it's Darius Slay, and he's people texting in, thank you, he was the one that scoffed at a number that a fan said to him, but you can have whoever you want. It's Stephon Gilmore, whoever you think the best corners are in this game. They can only cover you for so long. If you've got no pass rush, and we saw mediocre to bad quarterbacks pick this secondary apart because nobody was coming near him. We saw Dalton do it. We saw Jameis Winston do it. Why? Because they had all day. Anybody at the NFL level, they don't have to be named Brady or Rodgers or Wilson to pick you apart. They can do it if you give them that amount of time.
Yeah, but I would also say the other side of it, a lot of what I saw was that there was no time to get to the quarterback because there were so many quick passes coming out because they weren't up playing, you know, press man very much. They were just laying off and allowing that ball to come out so fast. No good pass rusher on a lot of those plays could have gotten to a quarterback because the ball's coming out so quickly. But, you know, I would say this about Jaron Reed, and I've always been kind of sort of leaned this way, is that you don't pay the guys in the middle of the field. You know, like a defensive end or outside linebacker is always going to get more money than a middle linebacker. I mean, it may not be the case now because of Bobby, but, you know, the guys that make the plays on the edge are more valuable and they're more expensive. And so, and I hate to say that because these are the guys that protected me, you know, D linemen, the D tackles inside. I mean, to me, and this is also goes back to Alex Gibbs, who was an old offensive line coach. He might have been, I think maybe at the end of year, he was with me in Denver, and he coached here for a little while. But he used to always say, yeah, I can get some guy off the street to play guard. Give me a tackle. And that's that same sort of idea that, you know, the guys that play in the middle of the field, you can get these phone booth tough guys that you don't expect a whole bunch of sacks from. I would spend my money on the outside guys, to me. And then you can get guys like Al Woods, you know, that are just kind of space eaters. But it's very rare that you get an Aaron Donald, and Jay Reed had a rare year with the 10.5 sacks. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that, to me, I would skimp on that part of my defense.
All right, coming up, a former NFL player is in very hot water after a very dumb decision. We'll hear more about that when we sweep the dial next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
Greg Robinson is facing big-time marijuana charges. Federal agents say they found 157 pounds of pot inside a duffel bag in a rented vehicle he was in. This was near the Mexican border. Robinson was recently with the Cleveland Browns. Authorities have charged him with possession with intent to distribute. If convicted, he could face up to 20 years in prison.
My goodness, 157 pounds, Bump. I don't know if you know what that looks like.
No idea.
That's a lot, I've heard. So,
Everybody's playing dumb on this one. Come on. Watch Cheech and Chong movies.
Yeah. It's I still marvel at individuals that seem to have an income that very few of us can relate to that will risk said income to make these moves.
It's like a lottery winner going back and buying more lottery tickets.
He's trying to double up. That's what he was doing.
You're not going to prison for that, though. You're just spending money. This is just.
But
like,
as far as the money side goes, like, you've hit your jackpot, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, and he's not unique. We talked about Nate Newton. I think Sam Hurd is the other guy. Somebody texted that in when I was talking about a Bears player that got busted. His might have been a cocaine thing, but still, same thing. You're talking about an NFL player dealing drugs on some level or being involved with drugs on a big scale, big time scale, and you're just like, what? What is happening in your life to where what you're making isn't enough? I've got to add this risk. I'm going to risk it all for this.
And he's a big dude. Like, you're going to cross the border. People are going to look at you.
I don't think he crossed a border. I think Clayton messed that up. I think they
really?
Were. I think they were going like from Louisiana to California.
The reports said they were near the border. They were in El Paso.
I thought it was at a checkpoint.
Yeah, I don't think they did anything with the border. I think it was all within the U.S. But either way,
well, he's a big dude, man. He needs lots of weed. Can you imagine how many bags of Doritos that he would need for that? I'm sorry, I'm making fun of him because it's so dumb.
Wait, I just Googled it. They were arrested at the Sierra Blanca border checkpoint near the United States and Mexico border.
Yeah.
So they were trying to get into Mexico?
So he's super dumb.
Super dumb, yeah. Just, I don't know what was happening with his finances before that, but anyway.
Country music is great, but it's so negative that, you know, we don't want to have that really dictating our internal ad campaign. So I just am really mindful of the music I listen to because it has a powerful impact, and Russell's the same way.
I never thought of country as being negative.
Yes, Bobby. I'm telling you, man. It compared to rock music. Sammy Hagar, I can't drive 55. He's always getting the girls. He's always, you know, partying, having fun. But beside that, the rockers are always, that's how I've always portrayed it. Like, and then you go to the countryside and it's like, oh, my dog died.
Ding, da, da, ding, da, da, ding, da, da, ding.
Yeah. And then, you know, oh, my wife left me. There's this really sad song. One time I was listening to this song, I was like, I almost bust out crying. The guy's talking about how he's sitting in the church watching the love of his life marry another guy. I'm like, why? So I'm with Trevor Moab. Yeah, no negativity. You don't need that stuff.
Only country I like, I can like not connect with, but think about is Carrie Underwood. And I feel like most of her stuff is like man bashing. He did you wrong. Kick him to the curb. All that.
She's more
pop
country, right? She's not like country, is she?
I don't know.
Bump would not know.
No idea.
I don't know.
It's a
but
good
she's
thing.
Negative.
I still think Taylor Swift's country. She's probably pop, right?
I don't think she's been country for a long time. Where's Ashley when you need her? Ashley's our resident country expert.
Yeah, sorry.
She's in here in boots and handkerchiefs every day. It's great. But
here's from the 206. My trailer broke down.
I like that you put the accent on there.
Well, I know that they would want me to read it that way, the 206 did.
Yeah, I guess it is. I've never paid attention to the lyrics enough to go, wow, this is really negative, because I can't take it that long.
I wouldn't say negative so much as just sad.
Yeah. Okay.
My dog.
After you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, nah. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
That's the voice of Big Poppy talking about Mike Fiers coming out and being the fire starter in this whole thing. This whole thing started with him talking about what the Astros were doing behind the scenes, said it publicly, and now Big Poppy's taking issue with him being a snitch.
I'm not mad at Big Poppy. I mean, it is what it is. He is a snitch. He snitched. He told on his team. So I understand where Big Poppy is coming from. But if he's going to snitch, that was a smart snitch. He waited till he was out of there. And he's not going to be affected by it. All around, it's just sloppy, man. I've said it 100 times. This whole deal is sloppy. But I would respect him more if he did it during the season. It was like Big Poppy said, I don't want to be a part of this. Let me step away. But he waited till he got his money, got his
ring. Well, but I think that statement's unrealistic. How many guys in a locker room or a clubhouse are going to go, you know what, I'm telling on all of you, I'm going public with this. I mean, that's not a realistic expectation.
Not at all.
Why didn't you do it then? I think you know the answer to that question, Poppy.
Is this asking too much that he should have gone maybe like to the league and said, I mean, I'd be asking a lot, but I mean, the way to do that is, hey, this has been going on. It's going to be really bad for the game. You know, you need to get a hold of this thing. It's been going on. I don't want to come out in the media and do it. I don't know. I guess I don't think he's cowardly for coming out with it. I don't like the way he did it. I guess I don't really like that he did it in the media, everything. But I mean, it certainly has made for a lot of talk radio. So I should be thanking Mike Fiers for that. And I think it's really fascinating that was going on and how it kind of developed
You're right. I think the story's incredibly interesting. Yeah. I love the reactions each day. There's a new reaction. You got Astros players popping off and saying, you know, these guys, people are just going to have to get over Lance McCullers Jr. and Josh Reddick out there basically saying, well, you know, these guys need to shut up. And a lot of the guys talking all this mess are ones that aren't even going to face us. They're getting all defiant already. You haven't even played a game yet. You're already tired of it. You know what? Tough. Get used to it. It's not going away. You earned it. You earned the scorn. You earned this vitriol from everybody. So take that.
Hey, can I just say, I was just joking about the country music, really.
Uh-oh.
For all of our country music people. No, this was the 206. I can't remember. Well, it couldn't be 206. 206 doesn't listen to country music. It's got to be 509. It's another joke. I'm sorry. I'm just joking around. No, it was a... I'm wrong about the My Dog Died country music. You have no idea how much your audience loves country. And then says, go Ashley. So it is the 206.
No matter what you say, you can't be as against country music as Clayton, so you're fine.
Yeah, so you know what? Go rip Clayton.
Yeah, he's making vomiting noises when it's brought up. He's, you know, he's got no love for it. I'm sure he probably takes heat over the text as well. I just love how a texter will speak for the entire audience. You don't know how much your audience loves them.
Yeah,
they take a poll? How do they know?
Yeah, how do you know?
If we can put up a poll question.
And go tell your friends to listen to the show, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. There's that, too. All right, coming up, Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times will tell us how the expanded playoff proposal could impact the Seahawks. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and Moore. Michael Bumpus in for Jim Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.